Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there's Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, hello and welcome. This is Diane, and this is Conversations with Eagle Flower, this fifth day of January 2022. As always, I welcome listeners of Revolution Radio who come from far and wide, from many cultures, creeds, and nationalities around this world. And we all come to this table of life to learn from each other in the best possible way. We acknowledge that no race, no person is better than another. We all experience this gift of life from our mutual Creator. And thank you for listening to Revolution Radio and supporting us here, as we are a listener-supported station. As always, a special shout-out to all of our Chatsy Chatters who are listening now or later in archives, and of course to all of our furry and feathered friends who also like to sit by and listen. And my Eagle Flower saying is, let's learn together and build our best future. And thank you for the heads up on that, Omega. Appreciate it. Okay, so what are we into today? It looks like we've got some incoming from Skyward here right now, so everybody's looking to see what's going to happen with that. And I thought we would start a little bit on the light side today. And this is definitely another one of these politically correct things, but it's very well, nicely done. It's called How to Be Green. Checking out at the store, the young cashier suggested to the older woman that she didn't know how to be green and should bring her own grocery bags because plastic bags weren't good for the environment. The woman apologized and explained, "We didn't have this green thing back in my earlier days." "Are you sure you really know how to be green, young lady?" The clerk responded, "That's our problem today. Your generation did not care enough to save our environment for future generations." She was right. Our generation didn't have the green thing in its day. Of course, we did know how to be green. We just didn't call it that. Back then, we returned milk bottles, soda bottles, and beer bottles to the store. The store sent them back to the plant to be washed and sterilized and refilled so it could use the same bottles over and over. So they really were recycled, but we didn't have the green thing back in our day. We just knew how to be green. The green thing. We walked upstairs because we didn't have escalators and elevators in every store and office building. We walked to the grocery store and didn't climb into a 300-horsepower machine every time we had to go two blocks. But she was right. We didn't have the green thing in our day. We just knew how to be green. Back then, we washed the baby's diapers because we didn't have the throwaway kind. We dried clothes on a line, not in an energy-gobbling machine burning up 220 volts. Wind and solar power really did dry our clothes back in our early days. Kids got hand-me-down clothes from their brothers or sisters, not always brand-new clothing. But that young lady is right. We didn't have the green thing in our day. We just knew how to be green. Back then, we had one television or radio in the house, not a TV in every room, and the TV had a small screen the size of a handkerchief. Remember them? Not a screen the size of the state of Montana. In the kitchen, we blended and stirred by hand because we didn't have electric machines to do everything for us. When we packaged a fragile item to send in the mail, we used wadded up old newspaper to cushion it, not styrofoam or plastic bubble wrap. Back then, we didn't fire up an engine and burn gasoline just to cut the lawn. We used a push mower that ran on human power. We exercised by working, so we didn't need to go to a health club to run on treadmills that operate on electricity. But she's right. We didn't have the green thing back then. We just knew how to be green. We drank from a fountain when we were thirsty instead of using a cup or a plastic bottle every time we had a drink of water. We refilled writing pens with ink instead of buying a new pen. And we replaced the razor blades in a razor instead of throwing away the whole razor just because the blade got dull. But we didn't have the green thing back then. We just knew how to be green. Back then, people took the streetcar or a bus, and the kids rode their bikes to school or walked instead of turning their moms into a 24-hour taxi service. We had one electrical outlet in a room, not an entire bank of sockets to power a dozen appliances. And we didn't need a computerized gadget to receive a signal beamed from satellites 2,000 miles out in space in order to find the nearest pizza joint. But isn't it sad the current generation laments how wasteful we old folks were? If you're an older person, please share this story with a younger person. It's not too late to teach them how to be green. And that was taken from atimetolaugh.org, and I enjoyed it very much when I first read it, and I hope you did too. And I suspect that all of us might be able to add several more suggestions to this author's list. And now for the senility prayer. Grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway, the good fortune to run into the ones I do, and the eyesight to tell the difference. One more little joke here. It's called The Elderly Man Thinks Fast. An elderly farmer in Florida had a large pond down by his fruit orchard. One evening, he decided to go down to the pond and took a 5-gallon bucket to pick up some fruit. As he neared the pond, he heard a female voice shouting and laughing with glee. As he came closer, he saw a bunch of young women skinny dipping in the pond. He made the women aware of his presence, and they all went to the deep end. One of the women shouted to him, We're not coming out until you leave. The old man thought for a second and said, I didn't come down here to watch you ladies swim or to make you get out of the pond naked. Holding the bucket up, he said, I'm here to feed the alligator. The moral of that little story is, old men can still think fast. I hope you enjoyed those little stories here. And now we are going to transition a little bit. As a growing child, did you have the height growth markers done on the door jamb with the date written? Then your siblings had their own growth markers and could be compared by similar ages. Yes, markers of growth. Since we continue in this winter cycle of hibernation, how can we sort out our previous years, especially this most previous one? Endings and beginnings. We experience and see in this temporal world endings and beginnings every moment of our lives. The ebbing and the flowing, always becoming, always changing from this third dimension to elsewhere. We literally leave behind our dross, that which is no longer needed for the next cycle to begin. A composting of the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. This winter cycle of hibernation can be very active in sorting, prioritizing, and composting. We acknowledge that much of this sorting out must occur, whether physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. Changes, always changes. Yet many of us drag our feet, desiring that the good old days come back again. There is a mix of those days so fondly remembered. On the one hand, we were emancipating ourselves from the rigid traditions and blind loyalties. On the other hand, as babes, we were naive to the maelstrom lurking about. On one hand, we were strong, enthusiastic, and had visions for the best, uniting together and learning to use this strength. On the other hand, our blindness to a hidden hand caused us to stumble and feed from it. As our personal life story progresses, we continue to unfold our life cycles. This life cycle is individual, community, or group, and eventually includes this whole world and more. So as we make yet another bend in this road, I sense a growing desire for many to reprioritize their life journey and goals. Sorting things out and putting them into perspective. Where to start? How can we simplify our priorities? Today's theme, endings and beginnings and new priorities. This morning, the full sun was bracketed by two rainbows, as if making parentheses around it. This is a perfect visual and metaphor of how we exist in this world, literally from one moment to the next. And since we are in the midst of the winter cycle of hibernation, we can use this example for any time in our lives. Yes, this time frame seems especially significant for the acknowledging of 2021, of putting to rest that which has ended, and of setting new priorities. More than addressing 2021, this is our opportunity to review our past performances and look ahead to how we can do better. What yardstick will you use when reviewing past actions, thoughts, intentions, and directions? How can we adjust our old ways of thinking, of living, and of existing? How can we make opportunities out of what has been thrown at us? Following are some eagle flower writings that explore these possibilities. As you hear these stories and poems, remember to look at them both as literal and metaphorical. So, let's start with the unknown. And I have to pull it up here. Okay. Embracing the unknown, dancing with a butterfly. And I wrote this in October of 2014. Clocks, calendars, addresses, street signs, all of them denoting time and place. This day-to-day world provides many tools for finding where we are with GPS systems, maps, and location finders. These tools show us where we are, but really, do they not point to what should matter the most, to our inner value and place in this universe? Until we individually get to the place and time that we can no longer move, whether physically, emotionally, or spiritually, we will not find the true meaning of life. Just as White Wolf von Otzingen described in his book, Man on the Mountain, he calculated his position in relation to other physical markers. However, there came a moment when White Wolf could no longer move. His face smashed into the blizzard-covered ground. Overcome by the elements, he realized that his options came down to his inner self. From this inner space, White Wolf chose to follow his inner guidance. Soon, this inner guidance materialized and showed him a direction to safe harbor. We are so inculcated with fear of the unknown. This society directs us to classify, codify, and categorize all situations, people, and surroundings. Without realizing it, we place values on what is right or wrong. Thus, these beliefs form our life stories. We box things and hide them or shelve them, not knowing how to divest ourselves from these memories. Eventually, all of these long-held memories and emotions insist on being dealt with. The longer that we hold on to these memories and beliefs, the situations get more cataclysmic. After all, the kettle is boiling within until we learn how to turn down the heat. Embrace the unknown. Another facet of life is the inner urge to make something better of ourselves, to leave a mark that we indeed accomplish something to pass along for others. Becomes greater until this desire is quenched. This desire of accomplishment is somehow intermeshed with extolling messages for others. While trudging on our life path, we stop and look back. What does this life have to show for all these steps? How far on this path have we gotten? What are the benchmarks? Are we limiting ourselves with faulty benchmarks? There are many ways through self-discovery of how we might leave a note of accomplishment on this world. Through writings, art, musical recordings, videos, photography, something for everyone. Often visual reactions through these arts stimulate something deep to others. The makers of these pieces interpret what is given to them, passing it along. Some get the message and others don't. Another day and another look at the same piece can evoke entirely different messages. Each mode of art offers the receiver an opportunity to let go and experience the wonder in a moment, that feeling of now. More recently, taking back up the camera has reminded me of many principles: topic matter, composition, lighting, filtering, textures, and shadows bring forward a tone, an imparted message. One particular day, I was inspired with allow the scene or the moment to come to you or to me, and that suggestion serves me well, reminding me not to try so hard, to let it go and let it come, to become one with the scene. Then even greater than anticipated will evolve from it. And I go on to explain what happened that day. Yesterday, I had already taken 1.5 rolls of film. Yet in the early evening, I felt compelled to once again take the camera out. Not knowing what to look for, I casually walked the perimeter, sensing if something called out to me. Nothing. Not yet. In a while, I noticed some butterflies flitting around the garden flowers. Oh, okay. A large butterfly. Could it be a monarch? Gaily swirled around as if teasing me and flew away. And I called out to it, "Please come back. I want to take your picture." Silence. It continued to fly away. All summer long, the birds and butterflies came around when I was without a camera. Wouldn't it be nice to finally get some nice pictures of these wonderful friends? Then, about 15 minutes later, another one appeared. Was it the same one? It nestled deeply into one tall marigold flower at the garden's edge. With sunlight dimming, I knew that the telescopic lens would not allow many pictures. My distance was not too close, about 2 or 3 feet. Yet I did not want to scare it. I got some pictures. This butterfly continued to immerse itself into the golden orange flower head. Taking a chance, I left the immediate area to change out to a 50 millimeter lens. With this lens and its magnifier lens, I could get within inches of this butterfly if it stayed to model for me. Seldom do I take more than one or two shots of any particular scene. Occasionally, I follow my instinct and just roll with it. This butterfly was one of these times. The timing was right. The butterfly modeled. Sunlight held enough to snap more photos. With gratefulness, I dearly thank this butterfly for showing itself. Its crisp markings of white dots and sweeping black lines along its deep orange wings perfectly matched its landing spot upon this golden orange, puffy marigold. Occasionally, the butterfly opened its wings as if gathering heat from the dimming sun. While immersing its furry black body into the cushiony flower, plucking and doughing with its tiny legs, I continued shooting less than 5 inches from it. We did this dance for about 10 or 15 minutes. The sun was setting. Finally, this exquisite monarch butterfly tired of its modeling role. As it lifted up, I again thanked it for participating in this moment, allowing itself to be photographed. It gently circled around me and escorted me towards the back door. Moving on. Farewell, my friend. Bon voyage. So what does any of this mean? Eventually, we discover our inner compass. We come to this world with an inner GPS system already in place. Upon finding and trusting ourselves to use it, we navigate in a different way. Little by little, our perspective changes. Some call it their inner knower. Others describe it as intuition. Regardless of its description, this inner sense points to ways and directions that the rational side would not choose. We lose the necessity to classify and to judge. The world's beauty quietly opens itself for us to experience. Another major lesson is learning to become friends with ourselves, the inner and the outer. Fear drops away, and the unknown holds many worthwhile things to discover, such as taking the camera out one more time and getting photos of a butterfly. It would have been just as easy to discount that urge since I had already taken some great photos earlier in the day. Fear colors and stains so much in how we view things and react. Until we begin to snip away those old ties of fear, we are like tethered balloons tied down to a limiting point of view. Cutting the string frees us to lift up and see or experience a larger picture from a greater perspective. How does fear relate to taking more pictures? For one, at that time, the limited financial means to literally take 2 rolls of film in one day. The rational side would have left the camera set on the shelf while never realizing the missed experience. This photo op provided a backdrop for the butterfly and me to interact. If we show no energetic interference to the wilderness, we are allowed to get much closer to the wild. Essentially, we allow ourselves to become one with it. Maybe this butterfly is the materialization of that energetic butterfly that touched my heart center earlier this summer. If so, we had a great time getting more acquainted, and what a beauty. It shall continue to flutter around and in my heart. I hope you enjoyed that little story of mine, and it really did happen that way. After that time, I also kind of melded with other insects that I got some very nice photos of also. This writing that I just read, Embracing the Unknown, sure illustrates several key points. One basic one is to follow your instinct or intuition. Allow things to happen. Use the moments and flow with them. And let nature and natural rhythm guide you. Sometimes experiencing far beyond anything anticipated. And I have found personally that the more in the flow that you do get like that, the more often these types of scenarios occur. Embracing the unknown can show you that much can be learned in a special and very different way. Next, let's hear my next writing with death as an allegory in our daily lives. And it is called Death Illusion. And this is a poem. Death Illusion by Eagleflower. Often this world feels so foreign and cold. Really, it is not the world, but how we behold. Slipping and sliding across life's floor at times makes one wonder what it's all for. Pull mind out of this rut and do what we must. It is how we do and in self to trust. Go deeply within to grow your own spark. Delve into earth and find her big heart. Death has no doorway through which to pass. It stifles and yawns, holds one in morass. No need to panic or stir up a fuss. It passes away in its own dust. At death's door has no meaning. Only part of illusion and more deceiving. Time has no truth and has no essence. Reach to the stars of eternal present. Blessed are we to have a life soul that binds us forever with Maker of all. And that was written in August of 2015. Death illusion so simply shows how transiting, movement, and change can be identified in all facets of our lives. And as I said earlier, the brackets of the rainbow around the sun, which lasted actually for most of the day, is a perfect allegory to that. How we translate or decipher our thoughts, motives, and actions becomes the real focal point, or it should. How can we prioritize if not recognize these basic truisms? The next writing is called Making Death a Friend, and it was written in 2017, and this is also a poem. mortality or the meeting up with it comes at most unexpected times. Recent months have surrounded me with friends, neighbors, and relatives in their process of aging. Death becomes no stranger, but rather a constant companion. Like trying on a glove, the concept of mortality and the hidden can be comfortable or too tight. This outcome is in the recesses of our minds and hearts and of how we prepare during each day of our lives. Do we welcome death as a friend, a perfect fit? Getting old has its foibles. Younger ones have no idea. They see faltering gait, bumbling words, and wrinkled skin on withered flesh and bones. Youth can intellectualize, but not know, what aging means to their elders. When climbing the stairs and hearing a creak, is it them or just me? A neighbor walking down the hall bobbles and weaves like a rolling ball. Another with a cane in hand determines that nothing can stop him until he makes the last call. A third neighbor is slowing down with a gimp in his walk and shudders drawn longer. Beyond these obvious displays of aging, each prevails with dignity and smiling demeanor. There is something about growing older that cannot be described easily to the younger. It is a time of acceptance, of memories past, of putting things into perspective, while rejuvenating a youthful attitude. The joints may stiffen and tempers may flare. Fingers may twist and with thinning white hair. Overnight teeth may set on the shelf and rheumy eyes not focus well. But aging has a way of filtering out what is important and what is not. It is a time of repairing, of mending fences, of cleaning out closets, both literal and mental, lighten the load, dispense with the old, and no longer carry burdens or guilt. Calendar pages move along. The clock is decoration on the wall. Priorities change as abilities are lost since yesterday. Meeting my maker becomes a silent anthem, the same as crossing the bridge. A life well lived by the golden rule sets the bar for others to follow. Part of the plan are death and dying, with each coming to grips of how it all fits in his beliefs and in dignity to complete. Seeds have been planted and harvested with hope that this life has made an impression and made a worthwhile difference. It is time for the next generations to take over the reins. The winter of the soul takes an important role of completing this circle and moving past the veil. The body and soul are tired. Death becomes a friend. The next time that you see an old codger dancing the jig, maybe he is feeling his oats once again. And if you see a flower in her hair, do not despair. Simply offer your arm and ask, "Can I have this dance?" Life and death bring on new meaning with experiences of each day and night through self-assessment, correcting one's errors and discovering new vistas of joy and fulfillment with proper grieving. It is appropriate that each of us grieves and lets go as we move along. Yes, that includes our own mortality. We put to bed and lay to rest, always knowing that our eternal spirit never dies, only passes onward. There is a proper death to old and worn out things, such as spent and wrongful emotions that do nothing more than self-condemn. Death is a natural part of life. It marks completion, fulfillment, and not to be feared. See it as a daily aspect, from the closing of one moment to the next, and of placing to rest that which is already harvested. We move along in a way that is balanced and complete. Life is a celebration in motion and seamless transition. Each moment brings death and a new birthing. Yes. Each moment brings death and a new birthing. Priorities change as we grow and learn more about this wonderful life and potentials of this world. When speaking of priorities today, I mean of listening to your inner guidance. A fundamental change seems to be occurring where many feel this urge to assess, reassess, and to allow our inner guidance spring forward with suggestions. Sometimes these can be a single word, a song title, or the repetition of a topic, word, or saying, suddenly bouncing out at you from various directions. Take time to consider what they might mean, specific to your moment and place on your journey path. Allow your thinking brain to take a back seat. Give it the day off. And close out distractions and out there sounds, background noise, and so on. Yesterday, while going through a stack of folders and binders, I came across this binder that had notes and even a short poem. Talk about synchronicity of topic and timeliness. I do not remember writing this, but it still stands. And let me read it for you. This was written in 2015 during an assignment at a workshop with White Wolf. The title of it is My Eulogy. Diane beats her own drum, has her own tune that many do not hear. She walks her own path, takes delight on the way, and faces those challenges, come as they may. Some challenges linger, taunting and probing. As time shifts and changes, Diane finds the beat of the drum. Testing and jiving all take their turn, and give Diane a fast go-around on this dance floor. As I was just posting this in my notes for the show today, I had one of those very strange, oh my gosh, moments. I had just posted my eulogy on the screen, and I went to flip over to an article. And on the front of that article, you know how they keep popping up with all these ads and all that stuff. Here was this box, and this is what was on the screen. Quote, end distraction and find your focus now, end quote. How does that sound for timing? I think right now would be a good moment here. I'll read some more of the fun things. We need a break. Here's a nice shorty one. It says, life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in an attractive and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in sideways, chocolate in one hand, martini in the other, body thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and screaming, woo-hoo, what a ride. An elderly woman decided to prepare her will and told her preacher she had two final requests. First, she wanted to be cremated, and second, she wanted her ashes scattered over Walmart. Walmart, the preacher exclaimed. Why Walmart? And the woman said, then I'll be sure my daughters visit me twice a week. Okay. Here's another little ditty. My memory's not as sharp as it used to be. Also, my memory's not as sharp as it used to be. Know how to prevent sagging? Just eat till the wrinkles fill out. This one, I have a feeling some folks out listening land are going to really get a kick out of, but it's so true. I've sure gotten old. I've had two bypass surgeries, a hip replacement, new knees, fought prostate cancer and diabetes. I'm half blind, can't hear anything quieter than a jet engine, take 40 different medications that make me dizzy, winded, and subject to blackouts, have bouts with dementia, have poor circulation, hardly feel my hands and feet anymore. Can't remember if I'm 85 or 92. Have lost all my friends, but thank God I still have my driver's license. You notice that was written by a guy, huh? I see that so much around here. Here's another one. I feel like my body has gotten totally out of shape. So I got my doctor's permission to join a fitness club and started exercising. I decided to take an aerobics class for seniors. I bent, twisted, gyrated, jumped up and down, and perspired for an hour. But by the time I got my leotards on, the class was over. Oh, my. Here's another guy one. It's scary when you start making the same noises as your coffee maker. Remember, you don't stop laughing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop laughing. I thought now I would read, let me see if I can find it here. Let me see something. I'll see. I think I'm just going to keep reading some funnies because I think we like to focus on funnies. We need some laughter. This one is titled Two Elderly Nuns on a Motorcycle. A police officer is sitting behind the billboard enjoying the light summer breeze, listening to classic Tommy Dorsey on the radio and watching for speeders who may be passing his position. Rather than seeing a speeder, the next vehicle passing his position is a vintage 1976 Triumph Tiger 750. And it's going rather slow, slow enough to obstruct traffic. He pulls out to follow the motorcycle rider, and to his surprise, sees there are two elderly nuns on the bike. He turns on his police cruiser lights and taps the siren briefly. The nun on the front signals a turn, pulls over to the side of the road, and turns off the motorcycle engine. The police officer approaches the nuns. Are you all right? You're driving exceptionally slow, ma'am. And the nun replies, I'm sorry, officer. My colleague, Sister Mary Marie, and I are on our way to the village in Winchester, Hampshire. We've been looking forward to it all week. I was unfamiliar with this road, but saw a road sign with the number A31. So now I naturally assumed the speed limit was 31 kilometers per hour. No, Mom, the officer explained. The speed limit is 100 kilometers per hour. The A31 is the highway number. That's when the policeman noticed the other nun, Sister Mary Marie, the passenger. She was shaking like a leaf, tears in her eyes, and could only mumble, unable to gain her composure. "Excuse me, sister, what's wrong with your passenger?" "Oh, that may be because we were riding on Highway A272 before we turned on to A31. And here's a young man's Beamer and an old man's moped. A successful single young businessman, a rising star in his company, wants to impress people, his friends, his colleagues, and of course the ladies. He does his research, lays out his finances, and buys a BMW Z24 Roadster. He is so proud of his new car, he eases it out of the driveway, takes it for a spin through the countryside, and enters a small town. As he approaches and stops for the traffic light, an old man who must have been 90 years old or more pulls along beside him on a Honda Hobbit PA50 moped. The old man looks over at him and says, "What kind of car you got there, sonny?" The young man is pleased. "This is a BMW Z24 Roadster. It costs $46,000. "Wow. Why would you spend that much on a car? What does it do?" "Well, Pops, it can cruise at 200 miles per hour for starters." The old man replied, "Can I take a look inside?" "Sure." The old man leans over on his moped, looks at the interior through the open car window, and says, "Well, young man, it sure looks pretty." "Yep, sure does." About that time, the traffic light changes from red to green. The young man, again eager to impress, steps on the accelerator hard. He wants to show this old man what his new car can do. 0 to 60 miles per hour, to 90 miles per hour, to 120 and 150. That's when he notices a real small dot in his rear view mirror. And the dot is getting closer. He slows down quickly in case it's a police officer. Suddenly, the dot is upon him and actually goes right past him. He can't believe his eyes. It looks just like the old man on the moped. How could the PA50 moped possibly keep up with his BMW Z24 and, in fact, go past him? And then it goes past him backwards and is once again behind his car. That's when it springs forward and hits the car. He stops, jumps out, runs to the back of the car. He can't believe it. The rear of his brand new Beamer is scraped, dented, and caved in. It's the old man on the moped. He immediately reaches to help the old man, who may be near dying. "Man, you look bad. Where does it hurt? How can I help you, mister?" The old man groans in pain. "You can start by unhooking my suspenders from your side view mirror." So there. Yes. Don't we just love it? I know that a lot of these writings have, as I've been mentioning all along, a lot of metaphor and allegory in them. But truthfully, as we are looking at the new year and we want to address the so-called new year in the correct way, there's a lot of things we can do for ourselves here. And obviously, we should be doing this as a matter of practice at different times. We don't need a calendar, but since that is the theme of this time of the year, it's something to think about. As you can see during my various writings in different time periods that I've done this. It's been kind of the same theme for me, but it's always done in a different way, looking in, how can I say, from a different perspective of my challenge for my inner growth. And that really is what it's all about when it comes to why are we here, isn't it? Why are we here? I'm going to read a poem that I wrote, I don't know, must be about a month or so ago. Yeah, 16 December. And this one is called, Who Made Me? Who made the earth? The ground that we walk on. From where did the wind, the sky, and the sun come? How did the waters form? When looking at the majesty of a tree, a mountain, or grasses waving in the breeze, what do we see? The stars, this galaxy and universe. Yes, how did that universe form? Was it always there? Sight unseen? What is this creative source? Many answers can be found, which are correct and which are not. Oftentimes it is in how we interpret the images, the thoughts that pass through our little minds that give us conclusions, right or not. When at peace and quiet with oneself, we innately know that we are the stuff made from an invisible source, sometimes called the great unknowable. For you see, when we try to attach our little visions of a Godhead that looks like me, we instantly limit the vastness, the allness of a source creator. Who and what made me? So on occasion, I do continue to write. And as often I've been told, it's my muses. And this is a perfect time today to remind everyone that every day brings a fresh, empty basket for us to fill. Our thoughts, intents, words, and expressions fill this basket. At the end of the day, we present it to our greater self. And what's filling your basket today? I would like to say that several weeks ago, I felt pretty strongly that this coming year, as calendar year as we know it, is going to be smoother. Might be some bumps and dips in the road, but overall it's going to be smoother. And the sky was lightening, not a heavy gray, but it was like a silver gray, which it was lightening. And there's an interesting thing that I kept noticing last November. At least three times on separate days, I went outside. Now, by that time, obviously, we're in deep autumn, turning to winter. And the air smelled, and it just felt like springtime. Now, one time I can see it, but not two and three times at different days. And I noted that. It just was so strange. It was so odd. And now looking at how the sequences of how this world is turning, shall we say, I'm wondering if that was just a little special note that we have springtime coming this coming year. And springtime is for planting and seeding, isn't it? And this might be the reason why my whole topic today has been about choosing and reevaluating priorities and looking at the beginning and the end, ending and beginning. It's with us all the time, every moment and every day. I feel like there's almost a moment of anticipation Do we dare feel anticipation? Yeah, why not? Let's do it. We can have our own interpersonal party and have our own anticipation. And, you know, given the priorities that we have or have had, I think having our minds and brains just simpler, do things simpler, quieter. That way we will find and maintain a calmness within ourselves, so that if we do get hit on the backside of something happening, we will retain our composure much faster or regain it. And I think are some of the critical issues of what we're here to learn. To learn how to be composed, of how to maneuver in all of these various energies that are always there and around us. I think that's a real good approach for us all to consider for this coming year. Because if we haven't done it before, we have an opportunity to do it now. And the interesting thing about all of this is that when I look outside, it's pretty much the same normal as what it has been 5-6 years ago on the surface. That's not to say what's going on underneath. And so we don't have to be panicky. We have to acquire our calmness, as I've said several times already. And my goodness, I do hear the music. So thank you so much for listening and joining me here at Conversations with Eagle Flower today. You never know where my eagle will take me next week. Goodbye now.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.